Welcome to this meeting of the Standards Committee and held on the 5th of February, held on the 22nd of February 2018. Chairman's notices are overleaf. You don't need me to read them all out, do you? Just to remind everybody that this is recorded, so that there is not only video, there is a recording of all the everything that's said. Okay. Minutes of apologies for absence.
There are none.
None. Oh goodness. And minutes of the last meeting. You've all got the minutes, so I'll go through them. Well, what if I could find them? Yes, page 5, 6, and 7. Is that agreed?
Agreed.
Right. Could I have any disclosures of interest? Councillor Acevedo.
Thank you, Chairman. I will be not voting on and sitting in the gallery for agenda item
7.
Thank you.
Councillor Anderson.
Thank you. I am Chairman of Southminster Parish Council. In the interest of openness and transparency, I must declare the clerk involved is also the clerk at Southminster Parish Council.
Thank you. And Councillor Nunn?
Thank you, Chairman. Item 7, I assume all of us are doing this as we know the complainants.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose we do.
Yeah.
Do you all wish to be declare an interest? So that's Perlman, Thompson, Dobson and Shrimpton.
Thank you.
Constitutional and operating arrangements for the Joint Standards Committee, pages 9 to 10. This, as I understand it, has been through council, hasn't it? But didn't I do it at full council?
Chairman. All the matters in black have been, it's the red items that are the ones that the committee need to consider.
Oh, good gracious.
Those
are extras.
Amendments to what has already been through council.
Okay. Can you look on page 9, 3, 2, 3, the line in red, if the complaint is made against the leader of the council, the deputy leader will be informed and generally kept informed. Over the page, 4-2, if there is a difference with the leader of the council, the deputy leader will assist with any possible resolution. And in 4.3, and the deputy leader in the case of a difference with the leader of the council is inserted. Do you agree with those?
Agreed.
And we recommend those to full council. Okay. We then move on to update of complaints informally resolved under stage 1, which will be on page 8, I believe. 11, sorry. Yep. You've already read this one.
Noted.
Okay. We come on to item 7. Councillor Nunn.
Thank you, Chair. One an observation and the other a question. The observation is that I think it's very unfortunate that this issue has received media attention. Secondly, I'd like to understand why this item's not on green paper.
Chairman, we considered that matter. It does satisfy the first limb of containing personal data and about the identity of an individual, but we form the view it doesn't satisfy the public interest test. There are two parts to the test of whether a matter should be green paper or not. And when you come to consider the public interest test, you have to say, does the requirement for privacy, is that outweighed by the need for the public to know about the particular matter? Now, sometimes a matter involving an investigation of a councillor might have such sensitive information in it that actually it does satisfy the public interest test. And so each case has to be looked at on its own particular merits. And certainly the encouragement from the government is that as far as possible, matters should be in open session, because they relate to the public, and particularly when we're dealing with the matter of an allegation against a councillor.
Thank you for the explanation.
I thought I'd just like to go through what I suggest is the next progress through the item 7. First of all, I think it would be helpful to all the people present if we introduced ourselves. Then I'll ask the monitoring officer for his report. Then will be an opportunity for members of the committee to ask the monitoring officer any questions. Then I will call on Councillor Burgess to speak. There'll be opportunity to question from members to Councillor Burgess, and then I suggest that we adjourn while we make our decision. Is that okay with everybody? Have I missed anything out? Okay.
Well, Chairman, as far as obviously Councillor Burgess speaking, where would you like him to give his deliberations, make his representations? Would you like him to sit in the middle, in the outer circle?
Yes, that would be one of those chairs that's in the middle and speak into one of the microphones. Okay. Right. Well, I'm Councillor Tony Shrimpton. I'm the chairman of this committee, and I'm also a councillor on the Maldon Town Council.
Well, you know, not a part of the committee, but
I'm the monitoring officer. Well, deputy monitoring officer, and I was the investigating officer in this particular case.
Okay, Stephen.
Yes, good evening, Councillor Stephen Nunn, Maldon Town Council, here as a town parish representative.
Councillor Anderson.
Councillor John Anderson, Southminster Parish Council, chair of. I'm here.
Councillor Dobson, ward member for Haybes West as a district councillor and also vice chair of the finance committee at the Maldon District Council.
Thank you, Chairman. Councillor Maddie Thompson, I'm member for Tolson Darcy ward and also vice chairman of this committee.
Councillor Perlman, I'm the district councillor for Maldon North and also a town councillor for Maldon North.
Thank you for that. So we now, I'm going to ask the monitoring officer for his report.
Thank you very much, Chairman. There's not a great deal to say. I hope it's all been fully explained in my report. But just to emphasise one or two points in terms of my findings, if you go to paragraph 28, you'll see that there were in effect two allegations made by the two complainants. Both complainants made both allegations. And on the first allegation, I conclude that I'm satisfied that Councillor Burgess did not have authority from Althorne Parish Council to represent them, and wrongly held himself out as having that authority at the planning meetings on the 6th of November and 4th of December. The 4th of December incident was the more serious of the two because he knowingly held himself out as a legitimate representative of the parish council when he knew there was a serious doubt about that. At paragraph 31, in relation to the second allegation, I'm of the view that Councillor Burgess went beyond the single reason of objection by the parish council, but he believed for good reason that the sustainability reason was part of the objection. And then the really important point really for this committee is not simply have the allegations in the complaint forms been made out. The real nitty-gritty question is, has there been a breach of the code of conduct? Just simply because an allegation has been made out doesn't necessarily mean that that breach is a breach of the code of conduct. So that brings us to paragraph 34. And with regard to the first allegation about representation of Althorne Parish Council on those two committee meetings, with regard to the first allegation, there is, in my opinion, a breach of paragraph 5.3e, which says, let me just find that, members, 3.5e, that you shouldn't conduct yourself in a manner which could reasonably be regarded as bringing your office or the authority into disrepute. And I'm emphasising the part about bringing the office of chairman into disrepute, not so much the authority. So with regard to the first allegation, there is, in my opinion, a breach of paragraph 3.5e of the code, although not a serious one, I put in brackets. By bringing his office, Councillor Burgess bringing his office as a chairman into disrepute in connection with the 4th of December. And you remember the 4th of December, the second planning committee meeting was after advice had been given by the parish clerk that he should not represent the parish council without authority from the parish council. As a result, I do not believe that there was any disrepute brought to his office as chairman in relation to the 6th of November. In regard to the second allegation, I don't believe there has been a breach of the code because I believe that Councillor Burgess had good reason to believe that the sustainability reason for refusal was one that actually was an objection by the parish council itself, even though in reality it wasn't, but he had good reason to believe it was. Now, there is just one matter in relation to my report I'd like just to clear up, and it's in relation to paragraphs 20 and 21. And in paragraph 20, I'll read the whole paragraph out. Following his attendance at the committee, Councillor Burgess agrees that's the 6th of November committee, that Mrs. Jeffrey, she's the parish clerk, advised that he could not speak on behalf of the parish council without authorisation. He agrees that he said that the matter was a personal one and that Mrs. Jeffrey did not need to know about that particular personal reason. He meant that this was a matter between him and Councillor Beale, who he believed was using Mrs. Jeffrey to intimidate him on a dubious planning application. He was not referring to his relationship with Mrs. Acevedo, as Mrs. Jeffrey had thought. This is, of course, the evidence of Councillor Burgess to me when I visited him and interviewed him. This is what he's saying. And that particular point is repeated in paragraph 22. Councillor Burgess believes that he did not need to follow Mrs. Jeffrey's advice because he had spoken already on behalf of the parish council, and that Councillor Beale had only wished to intimidate him through Mrs. Jeffrey. She is also the clerk at Southminster Parish Council in Councillor Beale's ward. Now, just something I'd like to clarify. I've spoken to Mrs. Jeffrey, the parish clerk, and she has made it absolutely clear to me that she was not acting in any way on the advice of Councillor Beale. She is a very experienced parish clerk. She's parish clerk for two parish councils. She has her own mind and gives her own advice. And she wants to make it absolutely clear, despite what Councillor Burgess has said to me, and I put in the report, that that is not the case. And she gave advice because she believed, as parish clerk, that advice should be given. So other than that, Chairman, that's all I...
Thank you, Manager. Does any member of the committee want to ask Mr. Quelch any questions? No? Then I give opportunity then for Councillor Burgess to speak. Could I ask you to press the...
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Can you hear?
Yeah.
Right. Firstly, I should like to protest that this meeting has been released to the Burnham Morden Standard, and that the details of the complaint... And the headline is that I could be removed as counsel. I consider this is prejudicial, and I would just like to record a complaint to this committee that there appears to have been a leak of Mr. Quelch's document because it quotes Mr. Quelch. So I would just like to have that put on record. And so I was advised about 5 o'clock this evening that that had happened. Thank you. I would like to make a brief comment about the complaint, and then I am prepared to discuss the summary from Mr. Quelch, and I would like, if necessary, to challenge comments made in paragraphs 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 15, 16, 26, 27, 28, 30, 32 and 33, which I consider to contain inaccuracies. But I will make a short statement, if I may. On December 13th, 2017, the MDC senior solicitor, Simon Quelch, issued a letter of complaint alleging two breaches of the local code of conduct by myself. And if I may just read out to you what it said. Both allege you attended two area planning committee meetings in November and December, wrongly declaring that you had authority from the parish council to represent its views in relation to a planning application made by Mrs. Avecido. At both meetings, it is further alleged that you added reasons to those provided by the PC for refusing the planning application. Councillor Beale was present as a committee member of both committee meetings. In December, the committee refused the application. So that is the complaint. And I specifically deny both accusations. For the record, this is the complaint that I received. Right. On December the 30th, the senior solicitor, Simon Quelch, issued a letter of complaint alleging two breaches of the local code conduct by myself. The first was that I wrongly declared that I had authority from the parish council to represent its views in relation to planning application. The second was that I added reasons to those provided by the PC for refusing the planning application. Unequivocally, I deny both complaints. No evidence was provided by Mr. Quelch to substantiate their assertions, and I suggest that there is no case to answer and the complaint falls. Mr. Quelch concurs that there is no substance to the second allegation and that I was not in breach of the members' code of conduct. However, he permitted the complainants to change their grievance to one that states that I did not have authority to speak on behalf of the parish council. Mr. Quelch states that I did not have authority to speak on behalf of the parish council, but at the 7th November 6th CPAC meeting, I genuinely believe that I had, it being implicit in my role as chairman, he did not consider I was in breach of paragraph 3.5e of the Code of Conduct. Their accusation, therefore, solely relates to my conduct at the 4th December meeting. Here it is claimed I was aware of the fact that I knew there was a serious doubt about my competence to represent the parish council, and therefore was in breach of the code by speaking in the public comment slot to review a called-in planning application in a slot reserved for parish councils. I do not dispute that I was aware of the assertion, but I do strongly dispute that it was valid. There has been no proof provided that I did not have authority. There is no proof given that I had authority, but I will return to that later. Moreover, the 4th of December meeting was not to review a new discrete application, but was a resumption of the deferred 6th of November meeting, which had been suspended, not terminated, to allow statements made by the applicant's agent relating to the provision of a regular bus service, the 31X, to be verified. The decision to support or oppose the officer's recommendation to refuse the application merely was deferred until the next CPAC meeting. My comments at that meeting solely provided additional information related to the 31X service. There was none. If there was no breach of code of conduct in the 6th of November meeting, the ruling is applicable to the deferred meeting reconvened on the 4th of December to conclude the hearing and make a decision. They were one and the same event. Therefore, if I was not in breach of the code of conduct on November the 6th, I was not in breach of the code on December the 4th. The complaint falls. Regarding my authority to speak to represent the parish, no evidence has been produced to substantiate the assertion by Councillor Beale and Avocado, which is clearly fabricated and designed to disenfranchise the parish. The role of parish chairman in meetings is comprehensively defined in the 1972 Local Authority Act and in the 2011 Localism Act. The latter also provides for expenses to be paid to chairman representing the parish at an external civic occasion. To my mind, this confirms that a chairman is expected and indeed authorised to represent the community away from the parish boundary. The call-in procedure provides a specific slot for a parish councillor to speak on behalf of the parish. He is only in contempt if he speaks against the policy of the parish as determined in a parish council meeting. Now, I have a good deal other, but I would like to, for the moment, consider your response to that statement.
Does anybody want to ask Councillor Bell for any questions? No? Well, then would you continue?
Well, I'm happy to go and go through the complaint, but I'm putting to you that there is no justification in this complaint and that I'm requesting you to throw it out.
Mr. Councillor Hodgson.
Like everybody elsewhere in the committee, I've received a written report. There's a lot of information being just given out here, and I, as the independent person, I don't see how we could respond to any of that without seeing some more detail that we can review, to have the chance to absorb and review. I don't see how this meeting can proceed at this stage without, if you're going to take into account the information that's been given here, I don't see how you can proceed at this stage.
Thank you. Well, if there's no other questions, then I'm going to adjourn the meeting, and I will ask all of you to leave while we deliberate.
I'm not sure whether, Chairman, just whether actually Councillor Burgess has actually finished what he wanted to say.
I have made a statement,
yes,
which says that there is no substance and justification in the allegation, and I'm requesting you to throw it out, or whatever the technical phrase is. If you wish to discuss the matter further, before we do that, I have a number of issues relating to the monitoring officer's report, which I would like to bring to the attention of the committee.
Would you do it by paragraph, numbered paragraph?
I've got numbered paragraphs, yes, I have.
Can you turn to page 15? Oh, Councillor Dobson.
Sorry, Councillor Simpson. So, just to my position on this, I'd completely agree with. It's Mr. Sorry, Councillor. Mr. Looking at the names here. I would. It is a lot of information to take on, but I think I would prefer to hear everything now, mm-hmm, so we can make an informed decision as to whether we should adjourn. I would rather hear everything that you have to say now, okay, rather than just throw it out at the moment, because I don't think I'm personally in a position to do that as we sit here now. So I would make a proposal that we carry on and then, yep, decide after the presentation, okay, has been made.
I have said all I want to say specifically on the complaint. The complaint has no substance. I believe I had authority. The monitoring officer has not given any evidence anywhere. I've been through the 1972 Local Authorities Act. I've been through the 2011 Localism Act. I've been through the Council Code of Conduct. And nowhere is there any indication as to whether the chairman can or cannot represent the community. I believe that I have a right and an opportunity to do so. The call-in process is fairly flawed, but there is a slot made in the South East Planning Committee for the parish councillor to speak. I was introduced as a parish councillor. I never made any claims about having authority whatsoever. I spoke as a parish councillor to oppose, in this case, rather than support. And I have, contrary to what Councillor Beale says in his comments, I have attended several call-ins, several of which were not, in fact, called in by the parish council. And if there were call-ins that I didn't attend or the parish council was not represented at, it is because the parish councils are not informed about the call-in, and I only discovered by reviewing the agendas on the Sunday before the Monday the 6th that this had actually been called in. Now, the first meeting I attended to, I was advised by my clerk that it had been called in, and this is the first time she's ever advised me that it had been called in. So my statement says I believe I have the authority. There is no proof apart from Councillor Beale's assertion that I didn't have the authority.
I'm sorry. There is no proof on the record that you have the events
sites outside the parish suggests that the chairman is expected to represent his parish. And this is a specific instance where I can do it. So my assertion is that I have the authority to do it, and I disagree strongly with this. I can't see anything else. I mean, I can go through all the details where I disagree with the details of this approach. But basically, he has not been the case that I do not have authority to represent my council. And if it's correct, he is disenfranchising all the parish councils in the area. And we are a small parish council. We don't have all the resources of the district council. We have 2% of the population.
Yes, thank you, Philip. Can I now ask?
I'm sorry, Chairman, I'm not sure if this is appropriate, but I would actually quite like to ask Mr. Burgess a question. Oh, yes. I'm not sure if this is an appropriate time. I was trying to let him finish in case the answer came. Can I ask through you, Chairman, at the December meeting, Councillor Burgess originally planned to speak as an individual, found he couldn't, and then opted to speak for the parish council. And I wondered if you could ask him why, if he was expecting to speak for the parish council, he thought he, in the first place, he'd speak as an individual. Thank you, Chairman.
If I can give you the for the December meeting, first of all, when the clerk told me I didn't have the authority, she said that I could speak or at the South East Planning Committee as a private individual. All right? When I went online to look and then discovered that this planning application was being repeated as an apparently new planning application, even though it was actually a deferred or suspended meeting, I looked at the notes, and I have copies here, but not of the one, and under the heading comment by the parish council, there was no comment by the parish council. So in other words, at the second, the December 4th meeting, the parish council did not appear to have made any representation to that meeting. So when I went along and I sat down, I did not approach the clerk. The clerk came to me, or at least the clerk came round and asked if I wanted to speak. I said, as there was no representation from the parish council, I would speak as a private individual based on the information given to me by my clerk. The meeting clerk, I think it's Tara Bird in the notes, said, asked me, had I made a written representation? And I said I had not made a written representation as a private individual. And she said I could not speak. I said that I had previously been as the chairman and spoken, but that there was no comment available from the on the minutes, which is why I wanted to speak as a private individual. She said there was an error in the posted members update circulated before the meeting, and that this had been corrected so that actually on the members update for the 4th of December, representation refused from the town or parish council, or from parish council, refused for the following reasons: outside of the village envelope and unsustainable. Now, I did not see, as an aside, the minutes of the meeting where this planning application was considered by the council. I was not party to the decision to oppose planning the application. Therefore, I then said, well, if there is if the parish council has, on the members' update, has made an objection, I will speak to that objection, because I spoke to the objection on the 6th of November meeting. And therefore I considered that I had the opportunity to speak. So that in response to the councillor's request, that is why I spoke, and that is why that note's in there.
Yeah, through the chair, if we can take this into two parts. As a private individual, did you have any, let's take it as a councillor. As a councillor, and you spoke, did you declare a pecuniary or non-pecuniary interest in this particular application?
I was not present at the parish council meeting when this application was considered. I have no pecuniary interest in this application whatsoever.
Through the chair again, does this particular application have any kind of detrimental effect on your lifestyle or in any way? Why? I can understand that you, or maybe I don't understand why the application was refused, but does it affect you in any way, this particular application?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Shinton. So I'd just like to ask a question, just for clarification. It's to do with the workings of All Form Parish Council, which obviously you've got more experience than me at. So it's on page 16 of the report, item 10, which I can read out to save everybody looking for the papers. It's from Mrs. Jeffrey's evidence. It said, after this, Mrs. Jeffrey heard that Councillor Bowser attended the CPEC meeting on previous occasions as the representative of the council. He had never informed the council that he had done so. There is a standing agenda item giving members the opportunity to inform the council when they have attended events in their capacity as a councillor. Mrs. Jeffrey would have expected Councillor Burgess to have mentioned they had attended the CPEC or expecting to attend. He has mentioned that he has attended other events, but never this. Now, from what you're saying, you get your expenses, which I agree, and you representing
expenses.
Sorry, the documents, the legal documents say that, and that's how you're defining that you're representing the community outside of Walsingham, which I do not disagree with, and we have a chairman who does exactly the same thing. But what is the difference between what you represent on that stand? Firstly, do you agree that there is a standing item on the agenda that you represent, where you've been as a chairman and what you've represented, and where do you make that difference between those events if you haven't said that you was at the planning committee meetings? I hope that makes sense.
First of all, we have
Chairman, just to come back on that. So
I dispute the clerk's statement.
So, So you're more than welcome to dispute the clerk's statement, but surely it should be minuted in the meeting what you said, whether the clerk was there or not. Do you not have someone else to meet in the meeting? So are you saying that the minutes are wrong, that you did represent, you did say you represented that committee at that meeting, or I'm a bit confused as to, I'm trying to understand what is represented at the Parish Council meeting under that agenda item, what isn't.
What is represented at the Parish Council meeting is, for instance, I attended the the Dengie Hunter Group. I attended the Malden District Council meeting in January when the inspector was reviewing the LDP items. I attended a call-in for the proposal to build 50 houses at Mansion House Farm, which I would have reported back on. I attended a planning inspectorate meeting in these offices regarding the Mansion House application. Now, whether or not these have been recorded or not, I can't say. You'd have to go through, 10 years worth of minutes.
I'm sorry, Tim.
So I'm saying to
I'm just struggling to understand that response.
Attending Southeast Area Planning Committee.
But in the interest of openness and transparency, and if you're saying you're representing, your understanding is you're representing as the parish as chairman, and that is why you was representing the parish council. In the interest of openness and transparency, why would you not ensure that was minuted under that item of your agenda on the parish council? That is what I'm struggling to understand.
Well,